All right, we are here in Parsha Fundamentals. It's great to have everyone here. And perhaps this is one of the most bothersome Parshas, hard to wrap our heads around. If you think about it, it's inconceivable that we have a man, Moshe Rabbeinu, Ish Elokim, somebody who led Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, who got us the Torah, who Klal Yisrael clearly experienced, according to the Rishonim, they themselves had a level of prophecy at Har Sinai to experience Moshe's validity as a Navi. They experienced all this. And nevertheless, we find that somehow there's a machlokas in this week's parsha, a rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu. And if you would say the rebellion was a rebellion that, you know, people just decided not to follow Hashem and just, I don't know, they want to become beach bums. So fine, that would have been more understandable because, say, listen, there's the Torah, there's Moshe Rabbeinu, there's Hashem, this is not for me, fine. But to openly deny Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership and the Torah that he brought down after all that's happened over here, and these were chashuvim of Klal Yisrael, is almost impossible to understand. How could this have been? So I'd like to, with you, explore a little bit a possibility over here, a fascinating possibility of how to understand this machlokas. But before that, I just want to discuss the amazing lesson over here. No one is safe from a machlokas. You know, if you would think of somebody who should be the greatest gadol in history, beyond comprehension, where Hashem is constantly giving a haskama to his authority, right? And the whole, everything's related to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Ve'aminu ba'Hashem uve'Moshe avdo. If there could be a machlokas on Moshe Rabbeinu, there could be a machlokas on anybody. So, whenever you see a machlokas, you can't be fazed or surprised. This is something that can always happen. A machlokas can always happen. There's a beautiful lesson, a very subtle lesson in the parsha, before we get to explaining how Korach was able to get away with this type of machlokas. But the first words of the parsha are Vayikach Korach. So usually when you have a verb, the verb follows with something like a noun. He took, right? David took. What did David take? David took a piece of cake, right? Has to say what you took. It's a very strange time, this only time that this happens to my knowledge, where there's a taking, but it's not clear what he took. And Korach took. So the Targum already explains he took himself and put himself on the other side. He made a machlokas. But the Pashup shot of the Pasuk, if you just read it simply, sounds like that the introduction to Korach was that he took. And when you look at Moshe Rabbeinu's argument explaining, when you look at Moshe Rabbeinu's argument about explaining that he didn't, that Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership was valid, what did he say? Lo chamor echad lakachti. I didn't take anything. I didn't even take a donkey from a single person. No one ever discussed Moshe Rabbeinu stealing things, you know, getting cigars for his position in power or anything like that. So why does Moshe respond that he didn't take anything? And you see an amazing contrast over here. You see that when somebody shows the faithfulness of their leadership, how do they express it, Toby? By saying, I don't take, I'm a giver. If somebody's a taker, it postles them for leadership. If somebody even takes one donkey from the tzibur, meaning that wasn't necessary for their job, it means they're taking advantage of their power. And then you could already question why they're the leader, what's their motivation, what are they trying to do? And then you can come up with all sorts of things. Well, if they take a donkey, then maybe it's not a coincidence that his brother is the Kohen Gadol. I mean, that's real nepotism over here. And his shevet are the people who serve in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan. Something very fishy is going on. The best way to clear yourself from any machlokas is not to take. Once you start becoming a taker, they can open up a file on you. It's an amazing life lesson that when a person is somebody who starts taking on any level, you're already now enjoying your kickbacks. You're taking kickbacks, so then it could snowball into any type of argument. So Moshe Rabbeinu responds, I didn't take. Korach, on the other hand, what's the introduction to him in the parsha? Beautiful. Vayikach Korach. Okay, there are all the pshatim in Chazal, but the pasha pshat is Korach was a taker. You want to know who the fighters over here were? Someone who had his own interest in mind, Korach, he was a taker, versus Moshe Rabbeinu, who didn't take anything. He was completely selfless, completely self-effacing. Right? That's very much part of Moshe's character. Moshe was the quintessential, what was the defining trait of Moshe Rabbeinu? Anava. Humility. Right? Anivus. Why? Humility is not only a prerequisite for getting the Torah. Of course, in order to get the Torah, and you want Hashem's word to come through you, so if you have any ego there, then it's not going to be pure, not from concentrate, unadulterated Dvar Hashem. It'll be Dvar Yankel, and a little bit of Hashem, or 90% Hashem, 10% Yankel. Everyone likes to stick in their little knetch over there. Like, Hashem, how about an extra pasuk over here? Like, what do you think? You know? So the more someone's an anav, a completely humble person, the more the Torah comes through him. Moshe was the paradigm of humility, which of course is for the Torah, but there's another aspect. You need to be humble to be a leader. You need to be humble to be a leader. We all know, and we've seen it in all sorts of politics, and it can't really be hidden. It's so blatant by politicians, where you see when somebody is clearly working for their own agenda, and it's all about how people view them and defending themselves, and they're investing so much energy in their time in office, just sort of like promoting themselves, and instead of worrying about the people, that's where they're putting their energies. The greatest leader is someone who his eyes are always on the tzibur, but you need an anav for that. So Moshe Rabbeinu is not only the one who is able to accept the entire Torah and represent Hashem like transparently, right, without sticking himself in at all. But Moshe Rabbeinu was also able to be the Roa Neman. He was able to be a real leader and not get stuck. And there was a lot to get stuck on because the Klal Yisrael gave him a run for his money. Right? Imagine how Moshe should have felt, you know, after there was so much complaining in the Midbar and so much and now with Adas Korach, they're coming and denying his leadership after all he did for Klal Yisrael, after he bailed them out of the Cheda Egel, and so many times he's been there for them. And now all of a sudden, right? This could give chizuk to any leader who's l'shem shamayim, who wants chizuk. They're in good company. They're in good company. A lot of times we're like very quick to go, wow, things are so bad today. It's never been like this, right? How could this machlokas be? How could that? Like, just go back to the first generation where it's not even fathomable that there could have been a machlokas, and there was a machlokas. Korach was a big man. And all machlokas also starts with confusion. Not just taking, but confusion. Korach saw, he had like a prophetic understanding, like Ruach HaKodesh, that he was as big as Moshe and Aaron. He wasn't off because Shmuel would come from his descendants, and Shmuel was Shaveh to Moshe and Aaron. And what's fascinating is when you have a machlokas and it's fueled by a kernel of truth, that's much more dangerous. People sometimes get shocked when I say this. But I want you to hear this because because you're my friends and I want you to know this, that sometimes I'll not like somebody's way of doing things or the way they're handling the tzibur or handling a group of people, and I'll say to somebody, you know, this person I feel is dangerous. So the person will respond to me, you know, that person's, it's clear they're L'shem Shamayim. L'shem Shamayim. You know what I say back? I go, that's why I'm afraid of the guy. That's why he's dangerous. If he wasn't L'shem Shamayim, I'd be calmer. But my problem with the guy is he's L'shem Shamayim. Whenever somebody's fueled by a mission, like they feel like they're saving the world and they actually really believe that, and they're off, they're incredibly more dangerous than some spooky guy who everybody thinks is after his own ego, and he actually is, and it's fine. It makes me very nervous when somebody is fighting for something, L'shem Shamayim. So Korach had a kernel of truth in his argument over here, that he saw that he's as significant as Moshe and Aaron. He missed it. It wasn't him. It was his, it would be his progeny. But what's amazing over here is you need emes to fuel a good fight. To fuel the good fight, you need a little kernel of truth. I once wanted to say a pshat in a Gemara. The Gemara says in Brachas, Mika chacham yodea pesher davar. Who is the wise man? The Pasuk says, Shlomo Melch says, who is the wise man who could solve the, resolution or solve the machlokas? Who is the one who could do such an amazing thing? Hashem. How could Hashem do that? Because he resolved a machlokas between Chizkiah and Yishayahu. How did he do that? How did he do it? What happened was, they were arguing who should visit who. There was an issue. Who should come to who? There was an issue that needed to be resolved. Who should come to who? So Yishayahu had a makar that the melech is supposed to come to the Navi. And he had a precedent in history, and he brought a raya from a story in Tanakh. And Chizkiyahu held that the Navi is supposed to come to the king. And he had a precedent. One brought a raya from Eliyahu's relationship, the Navi Eliyahu's relationship to the king, and the other one brought a raya from Elisha. And neither of them were budging, because I have my proof. I have my proof, and you have your proof. You have Eliyahu and the Melech, and I have Elisha and the Navi. So neither of them were going. What did Hashem do? Hashem made Chizkiyahu sick, and then Yishayahu paid a bikur cholim to him, to visit him. So that's Hashem's resolution of a big machlokas. Who could resolve a machlokas, right? So I was bothered by this. Menachem, you'll enjoy this question. I was bothered. If you want to show Hashem's power of resolving a machlokas, you know where I would pick it? Two terrible people who are animals who can't get along, and it's like been going on for years. They don't even invite each other anymore to the simchas, right? Like, unbelievable. They won't come to the table. Every Yom Kippur, not even a Havamina to join. If Hashem could solve that, I would be more impressed. Why? The greatest example of resolving a machlokas that you can find is Chizkiyah and Yishayahu, who are two Malachei Hashem, two people of the highest stature. You hear this? It's a nice kashas, right? So I wanted to say fakert, and this is so true, and we see it today. You know how, you know it's the hard, it's easier to resolve those types of machlokasin. Why? Two people who are fighting like cats and dogs about narishkeit, it's, you, maybe we can get them, we'll take them away, one guy will take away to the islands, and we'll calm him down a little bit, give him a week, you know, by the beach, and then we'll like speak to him slowly, and the other one, you know, we'll take him to Aspen, he likes skiing, give him a, and then we'll like, listen, you had a nice week in Aspen, like you're feeling good, what about your brother that you haven't, okay, he'll start to see, you know, maybe, I don't know. I'd like to say a firmer approach, that you teach them Torah. I don't know what's going to work for this guy. Maybe Aspen and the islands is only going to work. I have no idea. But we'll figure it out. And maybe that'll be a resolution of the machlokas. But when two tzaddikim have rayas for their behavior, Chizkiyahu had a raya that the Navi has to come to him. The Navi Yeshayahu had a raya that kings come to him. When two people are arguing in a sugya, and I have a great pshat, and you have a great pshat, and we're both holding by our raya, how can you resolve such a machlokas? Because they're each holding such a truth. One's holding a precedent from Elisha, and the other one's holding from Eliyahu. How are you going to get them out of their rayas? Because it's such a l'shem shamayim machlokas. You hear? That's harder to resolve than anything, because the truth is so clear on both sides. Each one really has reason to believe they're right. So whenever there's a machlokas, there has to be some level of confusion, that there has to be a kernel of truth in the machlokas, or otherwise it's not going to be the most significant machlokas. Over here, Korach had a certain feeling. Now, but one thing we did not address is, how could you ever argue on Moshe Rabbeinu? How could you ever argue on Moshe Rabbeinu? Even if you want to have a fight and accuse him of abusing power, what, everyone knew that Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah, right? All of a sudden, saying, no, Torah's not in the Shemayim. No. So I saw something incredible, and this is the idea I'd like to share with you. And that is the following idea that's in the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, and it's also, the concept is in a Tosfos. There's a fascinating Tosfos in Shabbos. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu did a couple things midaita. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu did certain things midaita, on his own accord. Right? What did Moshe Rabbeinu do midaito? So I'm just going to quote to you the Lashon of the Tosfos here. Moshe Rabbeinu, right, he broke the luchas, midaito, and Hashem said, Yasher koach sheshibarta. Moshe Rabbeinu added a day to the days of preparation. For the Shlosh Yemei Hagbalah, there's originally two, he added one more day of preparation. And Moshe separated from his wife, okay? So now, what we know, that who had a problem with him separating from his wife? Miriam and Aaron, they spoke Lashon Hara about him. So Tosfos says that, how do we know that Moshe was pirish from his wife, midaito, and then Hashem agreed? Maybe Hashem commanded him to do this. So Tosfos says, if Hashem would have commanded him to do this, then Miriam and Aaron would never have been able to say anything. Because Hashem said to separate from his wife. Okay, but Hashem agreed. So if Hashem agreed, case closed. Hashem agreed. Listen to this amazing thing from Tosfos. We're going to build a whole idea here based on this to understand Korach. I know this does, what does that have to do with Korach? Nothing yet, but watch this. Tosfos says from Rabbeinu Tam the following. They knew that Moshe Rabbeinu came up with this idea to separate from his wife, and that Hashem agreed. But they held that because Moshe Rabbeinu came up with this idea to separate from his wife, Hashem biderech she'adam holech molichen oso, the way that you want to go, Hashem goes with you, and Hashem was maskim to it. But if Moshe wouldn't have had this bright idea to separate from his wife, Hashem would never have come up with it on his own. And even though Hashem gave him a check, but Moshe Rabbeinu changed the way things were supposed to go. Unbelievable. Tosfos says the problem is that why did Moshe come up with this idea? Okay, Hashem agreed afterwards because Hashem loves Moshe, and Hashem saw this the way he wanted to go, and he thought it was plausible. But why did Moshe have to come up with this idea? That's what Rabbeinu Tam says over here, okay? Listen to what the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says about Korach's rebellion. They weren't really arguing that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get the Torah, that his face wasn't illuminated like the sun every time, right? They had a mask on Moshe Rabbeinu a lot, most of the time when he wasn't giving over Torah. It was just too overwhelming to see the face of Moshe Rabbeinu. Of course they knew what Moshe did. However, They thought that Moshe was pulling strings in Shamayim. When he went up there, Moshe Rabbeinu was going, Hashem, Leviim, me and my brother, you know, my older brother, Kohen Gadol. And Hashem said, that will be the Torah. Unbelievable. They held that Moshe Rabbeinu was coming up with ideas that Hashem, because Hashem loved Moshe Rabbeinu, changed things. Hashem, you know how the Avoda was supposed to be with Bechorim, but Shevet Levi, my Shevet, could shave it? Could shave it. Now, and that actually they felt that in his massive amatan with Hashem, Moshe was putting in his own agendas and changing the trajectory of the entire Klal Yisrael and the entire Torah. Incredible, Avi, no? Unbelievable, it's a blowaway. Yeah, but it's a much deeper type of apikorsis, because this way, when they say that Torah is not min hashamayim, they didn't mean that Moshe wasn't speaking to Hashem. This is like a, for me, this is the most incredible, it answers so many questions. It meant that it wasn't from Hashem originally. It's that Moshe was manipulating his relationship with Hashem to exclude the people from their avoda. Unbelievable. And Moshe Rabbeinu, what does he respond? Moshe Rabbeinu responds, you have it all wrong. In every place that I'm engaged with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all about you. It's not about me. Anything that I found out that my Shevet's supposed to be, that my brother's supposed to be, Moshe as the Ish Anav Ma'oid had nothing in mind for himself. Lo chamor echa lakachti. My whole life has only been give up myself. Moshe Rabbeinu said on himself the words, Mechenina misifrecha, erase me from the entire Torah. Can you imagine? Do you know that the scariest words, Dovi, I think that exist in the entire Torah are the words Mechenina misifrecha. Do you know what it means to be erased from a book? If you're erased from the Torah, it's like, I don't know what happens to you. Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to erase himself. We can't understand how someone would be willing. It's not like erasing just with an eraser. I know what you're picturing, Dovi, like a pencil and an eraser. It doesn't work like that. Erasing from the Torah, I don't know what it is. It's like not existing ever again. It's not being. Mecheni na misifrecha. And now all of a sudden, Hadas Korach, they were accusing that Moshe Rabbeinu somehow was taking the Dvar Hashem to his own advantage. Just like Rabbeinu Tam said that that Aaron and Miriam were arguing that in one particular decision of Moshe separating from his wife, Hashem was maskim after the fact. Ki'ilu, Korach, and his Vadaso built an entire rebellion based on this idea. They said, yeah, it's true. The Bechor was supposed to be the leader. That's how they got Shevet Reuven involved, right? Because Reuven was the original Bechor in Klal Yisrael. And really, Kol Ha'eda Kulam Kedoshim, we all could have been Makriv Karbanos. What's happening over here? How did the Torah end up this way? Because Moshe was not representing the people. And you see, in such a deep machlokas, to resolve it is very, very difficult, right? Even the... You would think if the ground swallowed up everybody, it would be game over. What'd they say the next day? Moshe, you're killing everybody. Like, what are you doing over here? You can't win. So the Sam Derech, who he's the proponent of this approach, Rav Simcha Zitzel Broidy, he's the one who connects the Tosus's Shita and the Orach Chaim HaKadosh over here with this beautiful Mahalach. The Sam Derech says something fantastic. What impressed the people and slapped them down, to stop them from the rebellion afterwards, was the Perach Matah Aaron. Everybody placed their matah in the Mishkan, and the one that bloomed was the one of Aaron, and that resolved the machlokas. Why did that resolve the machlokas and not what Moshe Rabbeinu did with the swallowing up of the people? Says Rav Simcha Zitzel Broidy, the Sam Derech. He says, yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu, here he goes again. He says something very big is going to happen, you know, and they're going to die a terrible death. right? So they got swallowed up. Okay, there goes Moshe Rabbeinu again. He speaks to Hashem. He's in with him. So he's in with him. Hashem did it. It doesn't mean anything. This is their whole problem with Moshe, is that he's constantly getting Hashem on his side and skewing everything to his benefit. But if it wouldn't be that he would come up with this, Hashem would have done something else. So now, listen to what happens. The Perach Mata Aaron, what was supposed to happen? The staff was supposed to bloom. But something extra happened to the staff. Something extra. The staff got fruits, shkedim. It did more than Moshe said. And says Rav Simcha Zissel Broidy that they knew all Hashem asked, all Moshe said was it was going to bloom. And if something extra happened, that means Moshe's not in charge. Who's adding this extra fruit over here? It's Hashem. It showed that Moshe's not doing anything over here, because it's actually much more than he said would happen. It's because Hashem is behind this, and Hashem restored the peace by adding things that were clearly not from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not like Moshe says this, Hashem agrees. Moshe says this, Hashem agrees. No, here, Moshe said it should just bloom, and look, it's producing fruit. Why is it doing so much more? It must be that Hashem's doing this on his own, and Moshe Rabbeinu is the most emistic leader. But my friends, this is a incredible, incredible thing to see how a machlokas can start. And even though the Rambam doesn't count this in Minyan HaMitzvos, Korach v'Adaso, you shouldn't be like Korach and his legions. There are some shitas in the Rishonim who learn there's an Isser to start a machlokas or to hold a machlokas. Meaning not just to start it, but also to hold it, to not try to resolve it. Moshe tried to resolve the machlokas, right? He went to them in the camp. There was nothing doing. He was trying to resolve the machlokas. A person shouldn't be machzik machlokas. A lot of times we have these babyish instincts to hold on to grudges and bad feelings. But we have to always remember that even though there's a kernel of truth in a machlokas, we can choose to focus on that kernel, but that kernel is probably just a packaging of a lie. A lot of times the kernel of the truth is the thing that's covering up all of the lies that are really the shorish of it. The shorish of the machlokas is power struggle, is taking, is not being for the people, and sometimes the emes of it is just a way of making that confusion, and we should be miskaber and resolve all machlokas in Klal Yisrael and see Urei Vanim Levanecha Shalom Al Yisrael.